Today's podcast is brought to you by the Herzog Foundation. Why does an eye surgeon set her sights on mining for rare earth minerals? Our guest today shares her journey from the operating room to the Senate to overseeing 13 million acres of resource-rich Texas land. That's all coming up next. This is the Moms for America podcast. Each week, leaders and everyday champions tell personal stories, share advice, and tackle the issues most important to moms. Hi, moms. I'm Debbie Kurlenis, your host, and welcome to the Moms for America podcast. So glad that all of you moms are joining us again this week. Every episode we get together to inspire, encourage, and educate moms in their journey through motherhood. Well, we've got a great show today, and you are going to be inspired. Dr. Dawn Buckingham has had many professions. She's a mom, she's a surgeon, and she has also been a Texas state senator. Now, as a Texas land commissioner, she joins us today to share her story and explain why Texas is so important to all Americans. All right. Well, welcome, Commissioner. We're so glad to have you on the Moms for America podcast. I know we've met in the past, and I'm glad to be talking with you about all this fun stuff today.
We are super excited to be on with you all, and hello to all your moms and friends and watchers. And please feel free to call me Dawn.
Well, thank you, Dawn. We love having moms like you on because they're just not the typical everyday work, you know, and you come from such an interesting background, and moms we know can do it all. But I'd love to get to know a little bit first. We like to get to know our moms a little bit. So tell us about your family, your immediate family, and Texas. And I know you come from generations, actually, of folks that have lived there in Texas.
Yes. So I'm the ninth generation to live in Texas with my family. Wow. We were among the original settlers, the British consulate to the Republic of Texas. So my family takes the Republic of Texas very seriously. been married to my husband for this will be our 35th year of marriage. And we have two kids who are 28 and 25, and they are actually both in medical school. My husband and I are both physicians by training. He's a facial plastic surgeon, and I was an oculoplastic surgeon, practiced for 25 years. But I did give up my medical practice when I won statewide because there just wasn't enough time to fit in both. But I love my family. And I just joke, if you want to get something done, ask a busy conservative lady to do it. Because growing up, you know, raising my kids, I led their Girl Scout troops. We were the team captain moms or coaches or whatever it was. And so, you know, we just know how to get it done.
It's so true. Isn't it funny, Dawn, when you talk to other moms and you're just like, they go, you know, this is what I did today, or this is what I have to do this week, or by the way, I'm running for office, or by the way, I'm traveling over here and I'm, you know, starting a this or that. And it's just amazing the multitasking that moms can do. And that's what makes us great, I guess. Let's talk a little bit about, so mom of two, the medical trade was really your dream, eye surgeon, right? Mm-hmm. And you were there for how many years before you decided to kind of go on to a new calling?
Well, you know, it was kind of funny because my medical education evolved into my advocacy, which then evolved into my public service and elected office. I finished my medical training and I figured out pretty quickly that between the government and insurance companies, healthcare was in a lot of trouble and we didn't have the best system we could possibly have. I became an advocate on patient-centered healthcare, which just is a simple concept. You come to your doctor and your doctor says you need this medicine or you need this x-ray and you've experienced it most likely. The insurance company says, sure. No, you don't need that. We're not paying for it. And it's exhausting. And so I just wanted patients to be able to get the care that they needed, that their healthcare provider determined that they needed. So that led me to leadership positions in every state, national, and international medical organization. It led me then, because we live in Austin, I practiced in Austin, I kind of became the de facto eye doctor to the various elected officials who were here during session who might have had an issue. And I was testifying at the Capitol all the time. And so I became a pretty forceful advocate. In fact, it's another story, but one of the most outspoken opponents of Obamacare when it was coming down the pike in the day, so much so that I was targeted over it and they put my medical practice in jeopardy. And through that persecution and weaponization of government, I really figured out that being what I call inside the ropes as opposed to outside of the ropes,
Wow.
being a decision maker instead of an advocate, you have so much more sway. And that's
Yeah.
kind of why I started seeking elected office and started at the school board
Yeah,
because
let's
I
talk
do.
about school board
Yeah,
because
let's talk about school board.
I have it here is that that's where you started. So that's where you saw an issue and you wanted to make a difference because a lot of our moms are very involved in their school board for obvious reasons.
Absolutely. And I teased that I ran for school board before it was cool, before we knew we had the problem in public education that I believe that we have. I'm the product of public education, as are my children. I'm a big believer in it. But there are some real issues there, and it became very, very evident when I was on the school board. In fact, some people say my superintendent's happiest day was when I ran for the Texas Senate and resigned my school board seat. But because I was there first, just to kind of give you an idea, they had had 12 years of unanimous votes, and their first vote with me on the board was not going to be unanimous. Just because they were doing something financially that I thought was a poor choice. And they threatened me and told me all kinds of things and that we only do unanimous votes. And I told them if they wanted a unanimous vote, they were going to have to vote with me. And it kind of went from there.
You don't mess with Dawn. It's right. I love that because status quo, we see that all the time. We see just things, it's because it's always been. And new perspectives and new ideas and challenging is full transparency. These are things that we talk about all the time and that are not happening. So, a good run there for the school board. And again, that's great inspiration for our moms that are listening and watching. And then how did you happen to get over to state senator? Because that's kind of a bit of a jump.
Well, I had always actually wanted to be a state senator. In
Okay.
fact, from the early days when I was having my children, we never had anyone that was a legal watch my children or clean our house or mow our lawn or any of that because I always thought I would seek public office someday. And so I always wanted to be a Texas senator. And kind of right around the time I was running for school board, it was Governor Perry at the time, and he put me on the State Board of Educator certification that set educational standards and then, of course, reprimanded educators that got into trouble. And about that time, Lieutenant Governor Dewhurst at the time put me on the Sunset Commission, which looks at state agencies and says, should they still exist,
Okay.
yes or no? If the answer is no, you get rid of them or try to. If the answer is yes, then the second question is, how can it better serve the people they're supposed to serve? And so then you bring in changes because as human beings, we all suffer from a fundamental mission drift. We start off saying we're doing X, our purpose is Y, and pretty soon our anthills gets bigger and we're doing something we're not even supposed to be doing. And of course, that manifests in state agencies as well. And it kind of brought me
Sure
into
does.
my thought on government. It should be small, it doesn't do much well, so it should stick to the basic precepts. And as you say, be as transparent and open as possible. And about then, my Senate seat came up. So I came through an eight-way primary dogfight that I thought was bad until we got to the runoff. And then that was really impressive.
Yeah,
And
that's when it
then,
gets really.
had a great time in the Senate.
Wow. So now Senate, and I know moms are listening and they're going, how are you a mom? How did you do all this? How did you balance it all? And what would you say?
I'm going to say that I'm asleep when Jesus calls me to heaven. So we, how it is. We're up super early. We do whatever it takes. We make sure, in fact, one of the things I think I saw y'all put out the other day is just the importance of family dinners. And
Yeah,
that was
sure
one
did.
of my sticking points. Even I had two kids that played year-round sports. My son was a Division I pitcher in college before he got his MBA and then on to medical school. My daughter could have played volleyball in college, but she decided kind of last minute not to do that. But when you have really competitive kids playing year-round
Sure.
sports, all the club sports, everything, you really have to make that family time a priority. It's also a big reason why we hunt, while we snow ski, while we raft rivers, because you get that one-on-one time with your children that are so incredibly important. And your children need you when they're little, but I tell you what, they almost need you more when they're older. Those big
Oh,
decisions they make as they come through high school, through
sure
college, and in
do.
their early professional years are really pivotal. And
Yeah.
so we've stayed really engaged with our
I
kids.
say that to my kids all the time. You need us when you're little, but when you need us more, and you want to talk about heavy parenting, all we parent heavy all the way till 20. Because between 18 and 20 is even some of the most critical years. And any parent that's out there understands that, boy, you got to take them all the way to the end. And yes, that's when they can make those decisions that will literally change their whole future. So then, Mom, how do you end up running for commissioner, land commissioner in Texas? Which is like, when I think of land in Texas, I'm thinking, girl, you didn't go for somewhere small. I mean, we've got the biggest land in our country here. I mean, this had to be quite the jump. And what was experience like this? Why
Oh
would
my
you
gosh.
say I'm signing up for that?
Well, that was funny because God just opens those doors and shoves you right on through them. And if I think if you want to make him laugh, you make a plan, right? Because this was not in my plan at all. And you can probably tell I don't not very good at mincing words. I pretty much tell you everything that's on my brain. It doesn't always serve me well in politics, but it lands me in the principal's office a lot. So I got a phone call from one of those principals, and I thought, gosh, it's been a while since I can't imagine what I did to land me in the principal's office this time. But George P. Bush was my predecessor in this office, and when he decided to run for a different office, they called me in and they said, hey, George P. Bush is going to do something else. We really think you should be land commissioner. And I said, oh, I will pray about that and talk to my husband, which was my really polite way of saying, no, thank you. I'm now
Yes.
going to go find someone else to run. And I literally asked pretty much every elected Republican in the state legislature because I do think your experience in the executive branch is better when you've spent time in the legislative branch and you understand how that actually works. And no one was interested. And at the time, this office and today still a little better with Trump in office, praise the Lord. But it was the tip of the spear for oil and gas, our history, and our Alamo. And so looking at it in the border, and so we needed somebody strong in this office. So again, I got to come through another 7-8 way primary with a runoff that was no fun. And then I got outspent by the Democrat 5-1. Which was
Yikes.
really a terrible experience. I don't want to do that again. Being outspent 5-1
Did you
is
win your
terrible.
first time?
Yes, that's when
Me
running
too.
for this office because the
Wow.
Democrats feel like I call us the lower commissioners in Texas. We have an ag commissioner, land commissioner, and then railroad commissioners, which by the way have nothing to do with railroads. It's all oil and gas permitting. But when we look back in Texas history and when you look at the first Republican who cracked the complete Democrat-dominated statewide office holders, it was Rick Perry as ag commissioner. He beat a very famous incumbent with the last name of Hightower.
Wow.
So these lower races in general, nobody knows who we are or what we do. And so this is
Right.
why I love being on with you all because we get to talk about what we do. So people will at least say, hey, the land office is important. The Railroad Commission office is important, as is agriculture. You know, we need to pay attention to these races and fight for these people because we're a little easier to pick off
Yeah.
because I'm not Abbott. I don't have $80 million in the bank. So
Oh,
we're a little
and
more vulnerable.
all right, moms, we'll continue our discussion with Dawn right after this break. Stay with us. Hi, moms. I'm excited to share some news about our new sponsor, the Herzog Foundation. We know you're passionate about raising patriots and empowering your children with the best education possible. And the Herzog Foundation shares that passion. They're dedicated to promoting liberty through education freedom and helping parents like you choose the best educational path. They offer a powerhouse of resources designed to support families and schools alike. Whether you're ready to dive in headfirst to the world of education or simply looking for more ways to empower your child's learning. From free training events to their must-read online publication, The Lion, they're committed to keeping you informed about what's happening in education. Also, if you've ever thought, moms, about starting your own Christian school or co-op, their School Box online course will give you everything you need to get started on the right foot. Again, we are so proud to partner with the Herzog Foundation, and we encourage you to explore all their amazing tools and the insights that they offer. So go ahead, visit herzogfoundation.com to learn more. You won't want to miss these incredible resources. Again, find it all out at herzogfoundation.com. All right, welcome back, moms. Before we continue with our interview, I do want to remind everyone to please like, share, and subscribe. This is how we get our podcast out into the world, so please go ahead and share that with your mom friends. Also, if you have an idea or a topic for our podcast, would you please email me at podcast@momsforamerica.net. And lastly, I always want to make sure that all of you moms that are listening, that you are part of our movement here, that you're in our sisterhood, right? It's moms like us all across the country uniting together for faith, family, freedom, and the Constitution. How do you join Moms for America? It's so easy. You go to our website. You go to momsforamerica.us. Join the movement. We've got Town Square there now, which is like the first ever membership platform, a place for us as a community can get together and help encourage and share great information. And we have so many great resources too. So please check us out at momsforamerica.us. And now back to the interview. Land Commissioner, what does that entail? What is your goal? I mean, what's the mission of the Land Commission there?
Mission is simple. We serve who we're supposed to serve, and we do it well. We are the last remaining entity of the Republic of Texas, formed by the Republic as soon as we had our independence from Mexico. And as we were transitioning to a state, because we're the only sovereign nation to transition to a state, We were formed to be the keepers of maps, the guardians of Texas history, and the steward to our unowned land. And this is really key to Texas's success. When we came into the Union, we retained our unowned land. All the other states basically gave that up to the feds for this whopping dollar an acre that was so worth it at the time. And I'm teasing because it sounded like a good deal, but it's not. So what that means is that today I run 13 million acres. We're the largest mineral owner in the state, responsible for the majority of oil and gas. We've generated $6 billion for public education in just 3 years of service. We also do everything coast, beach restoration, habitat restoration. We do the big disaster recovery, $14 billion in disaster recovery. We're putting thousands of Texas families back in their homes. We're doing flood mitigation projects that keep their homes and businesses safe. We're helping thousands of small businesses recover from disaster. And then we have a whole veterans division supported by our state lands. We run 10 veterans nursing homes across the state, 5 cemeteries, and we've lent over $1.5 billion putting almost thousands of veteran families in the home of their choice and then helping them renovate those homes to get the accommodations they need if they have any disabilities. And that's just scratching the surface. That doesn't even start about the Alamo, a $550 million project we're doing there, which is making a visit to the Alamo worthy of the significance of the events, really for the first time since the battle. We just have our hands in everything Texas, and it allows me to stand up and fight for oil and gas. We sue the Biden administration over Endangered Species Act back when it was Biden. We stopped him from shutting down liquefied natural gas exports. I mean, we go at it hard, and it's just a lot of fun.
You don't mess with Texas anyways, right? We all know that.
That's exactly right.
And the Alamo, all the things that you're talking about. And as I'm listening to you, Dawn, the excitement, the passion, you love what you do because you really are holding on to the sacredness of your state, because the land is what makes it all right. That's where we build our homes. That's where we plow our fields. Mm-hmm. That's where we have our cattle. That's where our children play. I mean, when you think of land, you think of like that is the journey that everyone runs across every day. Mm-hmm. Our highways, our travel. So all this is so important. And then let alone energy independence, let alone all of the minerals. And let's talk about some of those things as well, because we don't talk about that enough, that America must be energy independent. And President Trump, the first time, he surely got us there. Then we had a backtrack with the Biden administration. Now we're back again. Talk about that with Texas and minerals and all those rich resources there.
Ooh, and we have really exciting news. I'm going to lead with what we're calling elemental independence. So rare earth minerals, you're hearing more and more
elemental
about it. Elemental. So these rare earth minerals, jets require them to fly. There's 25 of them in your phone. And, you know, there's something that we require. They're a component of absolutely everything we do every day. And yet China has held the complete corner on that market. And they've started to play funny games with this lately. So In our lands, we just happen to have what we believe to be the largest and most complete set of rare earth minerals, not under China's control, in the entire world. Billions and billions of dollars. We think billions of tons of these minerals.
Does that mean it's been newly discovered? I'm trying to catch up with you here.
We've known about it for almost 10 years, but I'm going to be honest. In the last 3 years, I wasn't going to let any of our ore go to China to be processed. And so I said, you can process it when you can do it domestically. And so luckily, USA Rare Earth Minerals, they've been in the news a ton. They're our lessee. They have a big thing happening now with the Trump administration. I think we're going to get the manufacturing and development of these minerals on domestic soil here pretty quick. It has moved up the timeline by years, and we are going to take away that Chinese dominance on elemental. So we're going to have elemental independence, energy independence, and of course, food independence and manufacturing independence as well, which is incredibly important.
So important. And when you kind of rattle it off like that, it's impressive. But when you break it down, like you kind of just said a little bit before that, China, all these other countries are owning America. Right? They're processing it. They're the leaders in technology. They're the leaders in all this. And from pharmaceuticals even, which is not what we're talking about here. But I mean, think about the auto industry. All of this is happening in foreign lands, especially China. And we have to regain control. So the strategy that you have there, along with the Trump administration, this has got to be explosive.
Oh, it's huge. It's huge. No, see, I don't do a good Trump imitation, but it's a
It's
really
your own
big
bad.
deal.
It's and I'm not
It's
either. Go
huge.
ahead,
Yeah,
but
but no, and it's just so exciting. And so the way I look at it is, we should be able, we have a key role in all of these areas. And so we are coming up with programs to help our young farmers and ranchers be able to have leases on our land. Because if you're a young kid and you want to go into agriculture, if your family doesn't own the land, you're never going to be able to afford it and make things cash flow. You sure don't if your family doesn't own the land. You go to the all of the young farmer awards, and all of those cute kids have day jobs in town that support their farming habit. And so what we need to do is create an environment where our young folks who want to go into farming and ranching can. So we're working on that front. We're, of course,
With
all in
probably with
on
Secretary
minerals.
Rollins.
Yes, she's awesome.
She incredible.
Love Brooke. Boy, we have a lot of feisty, independent, incredibly smart,
And she's a
lovely
Texan.
ladies. Oh yes, very much so. I've known Brooke for a long time. I just love her.
I just
And
think about
she's
agriculture and farming and all of cattle and all. We've talked with her about all that too. So the combination of that, again, land, prosperity for our country, our state. How important is Texas to America?
Oh, if Texas falls, America goes. It's estimated we won't have another Republican president for half a century if Texas goes blue. So that's why we fight so incredibly hard here. We have roughly 1,500 people a day moving into Texas. They are changing our culture. It is why I work so hard to help our rural communities because I'm going to be honest, rural Texas, that is Texas. That is the core. Those are the core values. Those are the core independence. It's not the people who move into Dallas and live downtown. Dallas is lovely. I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying the people who come in and are trying to change our state are changing it through the cities. And so, and to your point earlier about how China's buying our country, I had to step in and intervene. We bought a 350,000-acre ranch because China was in the market to take it. It also happens to have some rare earth minerals on it. It's half the size of Rhode Island, but we stepped in, disrupted that sale. Now, of course, since a bill has passed so Chinese foreign nationals can't buy land in Texas anymore, but this predated that. So we were excited to be there. We've
And why
also, of
were they
course,
able to do that? Why do we allow them to do this? It just
well,
seems so
it
insane.
is hard to, if you're for individual property owner rights, it is hard to tell an individual property owner they can't do what they want to do with their land. So there's kind of a conflict there. But now we've got legislation that blocks that. I think we have a good path on that. But we've gotten a lot of really interesting calls. I'm not just Texas's first woman land commissioner, but I'm also the first person to make Texas bigger in a few hundred years. So
I read something about that. What, how many times did you expanded Texas? I mean, you made Texas even bigger? Come on, girl.
Five times. Watch out, Alaska. Here we come. But yeah, so there are these islands in the Rio Grande, of course, under the Biden administration again, when just that wave of illegal immigration was coming across. These islands were literally cartel safe havens because when they hadn't been declared for either country, United States or
Oh.
Mexico, then no law enforcement nor military from either country could step on them. So literal safe havens for the cartels. So they were Texas land. We declared them Texas. That allowed Border Patrol and the military department and DPS to come in, clear the lands, take away their strongholds.
How do you
The
declare
largest.
something like that? Explain that to me.
We call it good. So we're the mapping entity for the state. So it's a little funny that, so back to that, give a busy woman, you want to get
Yeah.
something done, ask us to do it. So the ask had been in for a long time.
Okay, so
And
this
then
was something people were pursuing.
I
Okay.
took office and they said, hey, we haven't gotten an answer for 10 years. Don, can you declare these islands? You probably picked up on the fact I'm fully capable of starting an international incident in the first 2 weeks of taking office. So I said, hey, guys, let's measure twice, cut once on this. We map where the center of the river is. Anything north of the center of the river is Texas and America by our treaty with Mexico from 1836. So I'm like, let's be real sure on where that center of the river is, and then let's declare them and let's get them cleared and take them away from the cartels. So that was pretty fun, actually.
I mean, yeah, that had to be a good day,
It was a good day.
That was a good day. Oh, how fun. I mean, not that any of us are saying we want to run for office because it's really not I guess it's probably not a fun job, but it is a rewarding job.
It
But
is.
I
I
mean, the
don't put
things
my
that you
children
look
on my
at,
Christmas card anymore, though, because people swing at my kids all the time.
I'm sure.
So there are definitely sacrifices that come with public service. But
Yeah.
if you don't have good people in there fighting, you're not going to have the good fight's not going to be fought. So we got to do it.
Yeah. And it is a family affair. I'd love to talk about that too, Dom, because when, and we've, talked to a lot of elected officials, including even President Trump, it is a family affair and it is dicey. It is, I hate to say it, it is dangerous.
It is. We're in a dangerous time, obviously. I am the first land commissioner to have a security team because I seem to draw a lot of fire for some reason. I don't know why. But but I mean, yes, and we live Travis County, where Austin is, on a good day votes 30% Republican. So you can imagine my husband who practices medicine here, he has patients who aren't patients write fake negative reviews online. He has people call and cancel appointments last minute to try and disrupt his practice, saying they can't stand my politics. I've had my children threatened with their medical education over professors who disagree with my politics.
Isn't that
And even though
incredible?
when I was in the Senate, I carried the legislation past the major legislative things that the doctors needed, because I do believe in patient-centered health care. And yeah, so we take a lot of direct fire.
Yeah.
All of
How do
us
you
do.
stay encouraged? I mean, I did talk about, just those victories, but I mean, what centers you? How do
Oh,
you hold it together?
Jesus calls us to be bold. I put on the armor of God every day and charge unapologetically into the fire. And I just hope and pray that he will protect us. And I have to believe that he
Amen.
will.
And he does. Oh, Don, what a great conversation with you. You've inspired all of us, whether we're going to run, be a mom, number one, which is the biggest job and the biggest, most, incredible thing that anyone can do. And then, to have a medical degree and then to go on to do school board and Senate and land commission and just keep going. It just shows us what opportunities God will allow. And what doors will open when we say yes? Some
And
closing comments for you to our moms, because I don't know what anybody's looking at out there today, but we do know that we are called to go forward and to do great things as moms in our
I did
home
it
and in
from
our
an
community.
economically disadvantaged background. I had to put myself through college pretty much 100%. I had to fight and claw for everything every step of the way. My entire life, everybody told me I wouldn't be able to do it. I was one of those ADD dyslexia kids before we knew what any of that was. But I think that prepared me for now. God
Yeah.
prepares us every step of the way. And I think all of that strife and all of that struggle, it made me tougher.
Sure did. It makes us who we are when we have to cross those tough one those boy, I can't imagine what your husband's like. He must be like, wow, girl, you keeping keeping him busy, keeping the family busy. He doesn't know what you're going to do next, I'm sure.
Yeah, there, it's a special man who loves strong women. So whenever I see a strong woman and I see a dedicated husband, I have extra respect for him.
Yeah. Well, God bless you. Thank you for being a champion there. Thank you for making Texas just a better place, not only economically, but for our resources and for America, because we need Texas. We need all those resources and we need that land and we need a great land commissioner like yourself. So, all the best to your family and thank you so much for all the great things you're doing. You're an inspiration here today.
Oh, well, we love y'all and you all do so many things. Your group is just amazing and it's really an honor to be on with y'all and I really appreciate y'all's endorsement in this race. It's a big deal. I need all the moms behind me. So thank
Yeah.
y'all very much.
Well, all the best of luck to you. And thanks for all you're doing.
My pleasure. Have a great day.
Thanks again, Commissioner, for joining us and the best of luck. I know that you're going to be running for re-election, and we need more mamas like you in all facets of government. So thank you. All right, moms. And a special thank you to you for joining us today. Again, please check out Moms for America, all of our amazing programs and resources. You just go to momsforamerica.us, sign up. There's a great newsletter, blogs, all kinds of support to help you on your journey through motherhood. All right, moms, I say this every week. We have it all from parental rights to public policy and from the kitchen table straight on through Congress. We're here to help you. All right, moms, I will see you next week. And as always, let's keep changing our country. You got it, one home at a time. Thanks so much, and God bless. A special thank you to our sponsor, the Herzog Foundation. The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of the Herzog Foundation.